Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to say thanks to our longtime sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing, helping you, physical therapists or physical therapist assistants, find jobs all over this country with positions in all settings in all 50 states. Find out what they have for you at AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
it. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Yeah, there we go. We're live again for our second drink of the night here at Happy Hour on PT Pintcast, a show that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories in the world of physical therapy. Hi, I'm Drew McKay, your host. We are broadcasting live from the Aureus Medical Studios, also known as my bedroom. It's my bedroom. Find them at AUREUSmedical.com, leaders in travel physical therapy. If you're looking for a position somewhere in these pretty awesome 50 United States, all settings, all states plus DC, find them at AUREUSmedical.com. Great show for you tonight. Sarah Cruiser and Mark Silik are here. We're going to talk about PT Health Study. We've been talking about this all week and pushing you to here. Now, here is now. Now we're in the future. The future is now. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and now video casting. Mom said the face was made for radio. She wasn't lying. Video casting, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, at PT Pintcast on the socials. Let's get the serious music. No, we don't do serious here. Let's bring in our guests tonight. Let's bring in Sarah Cruiser and Mark Siolik.
Crowd goes wild.
Bring the cheese. Mark, Sarah, welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for coming in. We've been talking about you guys for a while. Very excited for this. Excited when I tripped across it on Twitter. Very excited to know more. I've been on purpose not diving deeper because I was like, I want them to tell me. So thank you guys for taking some time out and being on the show. First question, always the hardest. We get the hard ones out of the way. What are we drinking today?
I'm drinking a Sun King Keller Haze, local Indiana brewery.
Yeah, I like that. Mark, nice.
We've got the Dogfish Head Sequench Ale, the summer session.
Oh, very nice.
Flows right down the throat. It's perfect summer, a little sour.
I will let you know, when I was in Virginia, I was a pediatric physical therapist, and across the street was a Dogfish Head restaurant. It was a brewery, but they didn't really brew it there, but they had it there. And so many of my patients' parents would be like, so we're dropping them off, good for an hour. I'm like, good to go. And like, I will be very close. I'm like, are you going to go to Dogfish? And they're like, maybe. I'm like, listen, you go into a brewery to have a beer while your kid's with me getting sweaty and doing Pete's PT? Totally acceptable. I am drinking.
Good move.
I've never had this. I've had beers from New Belgium, obviously, but I've never had Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA. And how do you go wrong with like cool skull artwork like that? The answer is you don't go wrong. So I am pouring that in the glass. So cheers to you guys. We'll do a quick cheers. Cheers. Dink, as we do the virtual cheers. That's very IPA. I like that. But I do like the Dogfish Head. And my time across the street from a brewery definitely nailed it in there. I was the 90-minute guy. I kind of got into that. All right. So let's go big to small, macro to micro. PT Health Study. I somehow tripped across Mark, I think, on Twitter. You talking about it with somebody. And I was like, what is this? This sounds pretty cool. And then I found out it's kind of like it's tied into like Mike Eisenhart we've had on the show before and really population health. So lay it out for us. What's PT Health Study from you guys?
Yeah, thanks. So, I mean, in a nutshell, it's kind of the goal of it is to take wearable devices and what we know kind of the possibilities and potential of that is and connect it with the other side that is providers and specifically physical therapists to kind of lower the barriers between connecting healthcare providers and patients. And really in the short term here is really looking at COVID and what are kind of the opportunities there.
Yeah. I remember a couple years ago, and I mean, Fitbit was blowing up probably in like 2015, 2016. They were just getting on the scene and everybody else was trying to catch up, of course, right? Apple and the iWatch was coming out and they were like, well, we're going to be wearable too. And I remember asking the question, and it wasn't out of like cockiness or anything. And I was like, that's cool that you have all this data, but like, what are you going to do about it? And of course, the obvious answer, I was a PT student at the time, so forgive my ignorance. The obvious answer is like, well, a bunch of data. We're gonna research it. That's the first step. Right? So I'm sure people like you are saying, yeah, that's what we're gonna do. So So PT Health Study, how are you guys looking at this, at this wearable technology? What are you looking at? How are you looking at it? Lay it out for me.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say just kind of the like initial inception of it came probably more, and like really I think a lot of us are less researchers than you might expect with a name like PT Health Study, but we came in more from the like application side of things. And at the company I work with, Proactivity, and Mike Eisenhart, we've been looking at using these devices and kind of how we can on the back end use some software to essentially monitor populations, mostly from the like injury risk management with companies. And really kind of as these, as the pandemic ramped up, saw some things in the data with, kind of this stress risk kind of formula or kind of signs popping up. And so kind of things came from there. And Sarah can go in a little deeper. She's more in on the kind of nitty gritty of the numbers side of things.
Well, let's do this. Let's find out the players on the show. We kind of skipped past that because I was so excited for the health study. But like, Sarah, give me your superhero backstory. Like, tell us about you and how you came to where we are now. Because obviously being on this podcast, clearly the crowning jewel of your career. Tell us about you and your background.
Sure. I have sort of a varied background, ranging from dance to body work and then ultimately PT as a second career. But I've long been interested. Yeah, I know. I've long been interested in sort of the kind of health promotion upstream side of things. By day, I work with older adults in their homes and promote health in that way. But I've gotten involved with the APHPT, the Academy of Prevention and Health Promotion Therapies, pretty early on and have helped kind of steer the direction of that and grow the membership. That's how I got to here, to be involved with the PT Health Study and kind of looking at how we can adapt what we're all doing to a larger scale and get farther upstream, because what's happening now isn't working.
I like it. All right, Mark, your superhero backstory. How'd you come to this crazy spot in the world?
Yeah, probably a lot of twists and turns maybe, but from a more like traditional physical therapy orthopedics background, and then got slowly wrangled in with Mike Eisenhart and the folks at Proactivity, really via the APHPT, which is kind of that Prevention Health Promotion Academy. And so been here in New York City working with Proactivity, doing mostly kind of prevention health promotion work with companies where we are kind of on, try to get on the early access and preventative side of things with folks.
All right. So now we'll tie the things together, because you guys are talking about, I mean, Sarah saying you're working in people's homes and really where people are, that's near and dear to my heart, because my day job is working with Fox Rehabilitation, where we work with older adults in their homes. What better place would it be, right? I remember Cole Galloway gave a talk when I was still a second year student, and he's a peds researcher, and he said, listen, climbing fake stairs to nowhere in a clinic, or you could do it where they are. And that's where I think this PT health study is, in terms of you're going to forget you're wearing these wearables, right? Everybody's like, I'm wearing a Fitbit for the first week. And then you're just wearing a Fitbit, which is great, because I want you to forget about it. So let's talk about early detection with wearables. What are you guys looking at? How are you looking at it? What can you do, or what will we be able to do in terms of early detection with this data we're getting from all these things that we're wearing and carrying around with us?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Jimmy, about essentially being in people's homes. We're sort of getting an inside look at a variety of indicators that we know correlate with physiologic stress of any kind. And we get this inside look at how people are essentially managing the daily life, the ups and downs, the stresses, the relaxation periods, recovery, work. And so we get a really good inside look at that. And then what we're able to do is sort of take a big picture view of each and every participant in the project, or anybody who's part of the PT Health Study, and get a sense of not just what stressors are happening to them, but how they're managing it. And so we know that with acute illness, as well as any kind of distress, be it physiological, cognitive, what have you, we see certain patterns, and we're able to use a pretty deliberate pattern recognition to determine when someone might be kind of teetering at that moment before they're not on the right side of health, and then provide outreach as needed and help kind of bring them back down to a sustainable level of risk using tools that we think PTs are perfectly equipped to use.
Yes. Wow. Well said. I'll use.
I think that's time for the noise, like the bomb drop or like the mic drop.
Nailed it.
We'll take a bell.
I'll bring in something personal, and I don't think I've talked about this on the show. End of March, I was in New York City, and I left New York City to come back to where I grew up. I'm staying with my brother now. A day later, I got sick, and I haven't been able to get a test yet. But so I cannot say I was COVID positive. But let's put it this way: I was a 40-year-old Ironman triathlete kind of guy, and wearing the Garmin like all the triathletes do. That's how you spot us triathletes. We're always wearing a Garmin or something like that. And I monitored my steps, and I would, on a good day, 10, 12K, and a really good day, 20 if I'm working out. And I was on my back for 5 days. I think I took 10,000 steps in like 5 or 6 days. And that's literally, I knew I was sick, right? But I was able to quantify it by saying, dude, you have not moved at all. You've gone from bedroom to bathroom to kitchen and back. That's it. That's how I realized how sick I really was. Because when you're a little bit sick, COVID or otherwise, you're kind of like, well, I'm sick, but how sick am I? And good on other people for forcing and saying, pay attention. If you can't measure it, how the heck do you know if you're improving it? I was on my back. I mean, 10,000 steps in 6 days, no bueno. So the fact that you're able to now really wrangle people into this and be able to early detect with wearables, yes, I'm all in, 100%.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, I think it's like bringing up the step count thing is also, I think, where it's cool to look at how this technology has progressed, because some of the things that we're looking at, it goes beyond the like typical, like all the wearables in the back in the day, it was all about steps and 10,000 steps this. But now, with a lot of them, and we use Garmin devices, but there's just because we can, or we have access to that kind of data. But any of the, devices nowadays, they are tracking heart rate. You can look at resting heart rate. You can look at heart rate variability, which I'm sure we'll talk a little more about. Yeah. You can look at oxygen percentage, respiratory rate. You can look at sleep and quality of sleep. I mean, for the entry level devices that do all of it, it's $100. It's like realistically the cost to look at some pretty high quality data that has a lot of like implications for long-term disease and acute risk. It's pretty cool.
I was actually a part of a University of Connecticut study. I signed up to do my first Ironman in 10 years ago, so 2010. And they were like, we'll give you a free Garmin and we'll give you a t-shirt. I was like, what? Free t-shirt? Sign me up. So literally they were like, we just want you to wear our watch and we're going to put a heart rate monitor on you and we're going to study these couple KPIs. And I was like, I wasn't in healthcare at all then. I was still a radio DJ. I was like, KPIs, that sounds good. I have no idea what those are, but sounds good. And they actually made me, I had to swallow I had to swallow a pill, but it was like they could measure my core temperature and they were just like, beep, we know your temperature. And that was weird. But that was 10 years ago and that was a big deal then. But you're mentioning, Mark, $100, it's gonna do way more than anything was doing back then. It's fantastic. So, Sarah, let's talk about KPIs. What are you measuring? Mark kind of tipped his hand a little bit with a few of those, but what are you looking at and what can they kind of tell us?
Yeah, so I think a primary thing is definitely heart rate variability. We have several different algorithms that we're using, but Garmin measures heart rate variability in sort of a stress number that they develop. If you're not familiar with heart rate variability, should we back up on it? Heart rate variability is basically the beat-to-beat difference in time between every heart rate. So even though we think about our pulse rate as maybe 60 beats per minute, how many times your heart beats, the actual variation between the R rates on an EKG varies.
Okay.
And when there's a lot of variation, it's a sign that our parasympathetic system is pretty balanced with our sympathetic or our fight or flight system. When there is not a lot of variability, then we tend to see it's a higher sympathetic drive, which is what we relate with ramped up stress. System, kind of running on edge. And also a lot of conditions that we know are based on sort of a low-lying chronic inflammation, that is something that factors into heart rate variability as well. But like Mark said, there are a lot of other variables as well. There's sleep quality. We look at a lot of different things, including comparison to your own norms, risk profiling, all of these different factors. But what we know is that in acute illness, we tend to see spikes in our heart rate variability changes, our resting heart rate, and we also see changes to how well our system recovers. We're able to see that.
That's a great, thank you for doing it like that for the guys like me who are like, I didn't understand what most of those words that you said, but heart rate variability would be like, yeah, my resting heart rate is 55, but how much, because that's an average, right? 55 is good, but you're saying, hey, what's the variation? Because if we're just averaging and getting to 55, cool, but it doesn't tell us anything. So you're saying the difference between the R waves, if there's a lot of variability, then there's some sympathetic and some parasympathetic bringing it back down. You want to have a good even distribution. So heart rate variability, how is it measured? What's a good number? Like zero?
I don't know the actual numbers. It's based on sort of a millisecond difference, okay. I believe. Right. Yeah, and all of the different watches are using their own algorithm because there are multiple different types of heart rate variability that you can measure. I can't remember the names of them, to be honest. Yeah, but I think that you can take them both. Oops. Sorry, I got a little bit of tech overlay there and interrupted something.
Can you hear us more? Mm-hmm. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it's fine. It's just that the watches tend to take the different types of heart rate variability and put them into their own score. That's kind of aimed towards the layperson, often a 0 to 100. How stressed are you and how stressed is your system?
Gotcha. All right. So when you have these and then also like sleep and sleep quality, I remember when, the iPhone started doing that kind of health app and you're supposed to like put your phone on the bed and it would tell like how much you're moving. And I'm like, that's a little weird. So how would you describe the difference between sleep and sleep quality? Because it feels like sleep is just like, how many hours are you mostly immobile sleeping? But then there's quality. It feels like heart rate and then heart rate variability. Is that close?
I think so. We look at REM and deep sleep as the quality and then light sleep as the less quality of sleep. And so we're looking for somewhere around a 40% range is a kind of a good standard, good reason area to be in.
Good. All right. So how are you enrolling people in PT Health Study? How's this work? And the audience as therapists listening and watching, how can they get involved? Let's bring them in, because the more information you get, the bigger your pool of data, the better things are going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think sometimes, and maybe choosing the word study was a little bit, confusing or maybe thinking of it more as like a collaborative project, I think is probably more representative of what we want this to be. With the goal of saying, we know this type of system can be helpful. Like we've seen the early signs of it. And we think it matters that physical therapists are involved in this type of kind of like care connection. So really we're initially trying to enroll PTs in it to both help develop the system as in like give us a little feedback in the early on. And then also kind of giving back some information and guidance to them in terms of, really trying to edge them along towards this type of model of like looking at populations and managing people from this kind of upstream avenue. So really enrollment is basically you go on pthealthstudy.org, you fill out a little Google form. We send you an email where if you have a device, you can sign right up, meaning if you have a compatible Garmin device from the list that we give you, or you can buy a device. There's a little discount code just for joining on. So you can then purchase the device, which
I mean, discount bell. You've got to have discount bells.
Discount bell. Yeah. So basically the $100 device is like the really low profile. I think, DeSera, do you have the other one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a lower profile one that's pretty small. So a little easier to sleep in. So basically, you get that device in the mail, you start wearing it, you connect it to our system, and then once a week, we send you like a 1 to 5 question survey, and then give you like a little video kind of education on starting to shift towards this type of thinking and what we can learn from the devices.
You just explained it really simply, but like, wow, like think about this. Like we're able to collect real time, like this is 2020, like look where we are. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to think when I was 13 and I was like, I can have a walkie talkie. Look how amazing. I can hear my voice 8 feet away. That's how far walkie talkies worked, but it felt like a million miles away. And you're collecting real time data from people and able to do something with it. And that was the question I asked, like in 2015, 2016, everybody's got a Fitbit and step count. I was just like, all right. So what? Like I learned research from my professor, Jason Craig, who's Irish. So everything he said sounded like kind of prophetic. He's like, what? So what? And now what? And I was like, what's that mean? He's like, that's research. What? So what? Now what? And I was like, oh, but when you say it with an Irish accent, it sounds way more cool. But that was my question, which is like, that is cool. Kind of. Right. So like, who cares if I know how many steps I'm taking, but now you guys are really starting to put it because these things are so widespread and available and cheaper and probably getting more accurate, even at the cheaper level, we're able to do things with it. I'm going to sign up because I'm curious. And the second part of that, Mark, as you just mentioned, is you give people a survey. So that's more intaking, but you give them something, education. And that's our PT wheelhouse.
Yeah. And I think that's been the really cool thing as, how many weeks in are we now? It's hard to say. We started like getting the ball rolling probably late March, like right when this started. We probably officially launched in like April. But just to see some of the actually like not only shifts in like people's understanding of kind of the opportunity with a lot of these tools. I mean, we have people in pediatrics, we have people working in geriatrics, yeah, and like lots of different applications of populations. But also seeing our population shift in terms of their kind of what they're reporting their health metrics to be, and especially related to like distress and overstress, which right now is like of top of mind because, you know, as we look at the data coming in on like, if you get this virus, like it really matters. Like, is your system already revved up? And like, are you like on the edge right now? Because things are going to look a whole lot different if you get the virus now versus if you're in a good spot, right? If we can keep things kind of under wraps. So it's been cool to watch, even though like it's relatively healthy population, the people who are in it now, there's been a shift towards like, you know, yeah, doing good or a little bit better. So that's been kind of neat to watch through.
That's a good point. It's like, yeah, I'm in good shape, right? But what are you measuring, right? Well, I run a lot, but like, what's my heart rate variability versus resting heart rate? And when you get infected or if you get infected with anything, right? Because you guys are looking at this very timely on your part in terms of COVID and people who are being impacted. But I mean, this didn't come about because of COVID. My guess is you guys were working on this well before this because of population health. But it looks like these things are, since they're everywhere, they're constantly collecting data. So now let's talk about this. Connecting providers with patients. How does that work?
So I think there's kind of the initial part that is involved in the PT health study itself, in that, you know, most people, like you said, you're wearing a device and you don't really know what to do with that information, right? And so by connecting people who are wearing the devices with a healthcare provider, specifically PTs, but really it's broad, connecting them with a healthcare provider allows us to provide that context, because most people may have that information coming in, but they don't really speak the language. And we're able to kind of provide outreach as needed in a way that kind of breaks it down into actual English for people, as well as the information that we're providing. But we also see this as something that can really be used by physical therapists on a large scale. So therapists who are already working with a large group of patients or are in a community, this is something we think is scalable to be used by PTs across the country and really impact the health of a whole population. So going beyond connecting one-to-one provider to patient, but really connecting a provider or a group of providers to an entire community. And that's to us the big goal.
That's the win right there. You guys get a bell right there.
Drop the bell.
I need more like mic drop sound effects for you guys. As you're saying that, Sarah, I'm thinking about the first time I literally went from I'm wearing something and it, you know, I start it when I run and I stop and I know how far I went and that's cool. The first time I was like, oh, wow, this is really useful. I was training for a triathlon and I actually hired a coach. He was a PT student at the time, Kevin, who's hopefully listening to this. But he was great. And I had the Garmin mapped to a piece of software and he saw every workout. And the fact that I knew that he was in Maryland and I was in New York City, the fact that I knew that Kevin was going to see every workout, every time I did the thing that I wasn't supposed to do, hey, I want you to keep your heart rate below here. I don't want you to go this far. It literally was like, hey, don't do that because someone's going to, because if I just called, he was like, how'd it go? Yeah, I did everything you said and it didn't do anything bad. I'm like, he's going to know. So it really, it was like this kind of like, you know, this piece that kept me in check and said, okay, let's actually follow the plan. This is being recorded in a good way, not in the creepy big brother way. It's being recorded. This is going to go my permanent record. But I should pay attention to this because I signed up for the plan. The plan was do this and it's being recorded. So now you're doing that on such a mass scale. Like this is going to be fun. Like 5 years from now, this is going to be really fun to look at, right?
Yeah. Future's now, man. And I think Sarah and I were chatting earlier today, and we've talked about this, a lot of things have developed, but I think a lot of the power now in these devices a lot of the devices that are out now is less in the like performance aspect from a like, you know, show how far you've ran or show like how fast you've gone or what your heart rate is. Like that's like, absolutely, it's great. But a lot of what we're seeing is like the ability of this type of system to coach people into recovering better, coach people into understanding their physiology a little bit and saying, what are signs that like I'm kind of pushing my body into the red a little bit? And when that happens, like one, do I know it? And two, what things do I do to step myself away from that?
So what?
Yeah. And the part of like connecting the provider is, as Sarah mentioned, not only the like, well, sometimes we see things a little earlier than you do. And number two is like, give a little context to like a simple message of like, because it's not that, it doesn't take that much. Like you can have 1,000 people, and if 10 people in a day spike like into a high risk zone and you send a message that says, hey, seeing a little something, like what's going on? So it's the power of something as simple as that to then trip off a conversation of like, you know, what, somebody's having a like depressive episode and who knows? But like the ability to know, like, you know, Mike Eisenhart often talks about like just in time care. Like how do we know when, like, what is like the time that, hey, I should talk to that person on this day? Because if you're dealing with a large group of people, it's just so hard to know who to ask when,
right?
And you can't happen upon everybody every day. So
like one of those, man, if you have someone in front of you or something happened, you're like, if I just talked to that person, if I just talked to that girl 2 weeks ago, this would happen. So that just-in-time care, like very, very important. And the other thing you were saying, Mark, as I think we're changing headphones, right, is see something, say something. Like, the smartest people I know in rehab technology literally say you have to solve a human problem with a human solution, right? Tech can be in the middle of that, but you can't solve a human problem with a tech solution. You can't. So everything you just said there, Mark, was like, you were seeing something as the provider, and then you were saying something. It begins and ends with a human. See something, say something. Yes, the thing that you were seeing was data from a tech device, but you were able to then somehow start a conversation as a person with a person that could actually do something, hopefully just in time. And that is the magic of, I think, technology and where someone like this has legs. That excites me.
Very.
I love it. Model for future practice. So that's what you guys are doing now. That's now. The future is now, as Mark said. We got it. But model for future practice. Where's this thing going? Like again, 2015, 2016, I was saying, like, that's cool, but what? You guys are literally doing this and measuring and being able to communicate with people and actually make big differences because you're seeing something, and you're saying something. Where could, what are the things that you guys are saying? Wow, what if, or when we get this? What are the things in the future that excite you, Sarah?
Oh, I think just the ability to kind of step back a little bit. I think what's amazing is, like Mark said, we're not trying to push people into this place where they're always doing our sort of model health behaviors, but rather we're able to step back, see a huge population, and then basically just tell them, you know, hey, it looks like rain. Maybe you should throw an umbrella in your bag. Right. Because to me, I think, I mean, from my own sort of downstream PT perspective, that's what we really are doing too. But it's difficult to do that in the current system. And so I think that when we give people the self-efficacy to kind of take control of their own health, but give them little nudges, that really excites me.
That's a great point, which is literally, again, full circle. The more podcast episodes I do, the more by accident full circle moments. Everything you're saying there is like meeting people where they are, yeah. Right? Which is what you do in practice, Sarah. You're like, I work with older adults in their home. So you're meeting people where they are. They've got these things with them, or they've got, they're wearing them. And you're saying, well, I'm meeting you where you are. Here's what I'm seeing. And by the way, a little cloudy, to use that analogy, a little cloudy. Mm-hmm. Maybe an umbrella, or hey, little in the red zone. Why don't we throw all that back a little bit? Or let me ask you a question. What's going on here? Is it stress, or are you working? You got a busy week, or talk to me. And that's a question that starts this conversation from one person to another. And that's where the PT magic happens. I love that. Let me ask you a specific question, Sarah. You work with older adults. Ageism and a stigma is, well, older adults, they don't know anything about technology. But I will counter that with saying that I FaceTime regularly with my gammy, and she's 94, and she will run circles around you on Facebook. So that ain't coming here. How are you seeing, like, wearables in older adults? If you ask people that, the average would be like, nope, not getting into it. But what do you see as someone who really works with older adults?
I see a sort of the range of possibilities. I definitely see a lot of older adults who are very in tune with technology, or wearing Apple Watches even, and syncing them to their phones. I would love to see the technology, and I think that it does exist for some features. I would love to see the technology get to a point where there's, it doesn't have to be a personal app and can be a broader connection base, so that people who aren't comfortable with technology can be part of that. I imagine, you know, entire senior living communities having folks be on wearables. I think that would be pretty incredible, taking it out of the need, you know, understanding that just simply because of age, that some people may not have ever wanted to get involved with that technology, whereas some are really adept at it. I mean, it's a great population to monitor, especially as we're seeing huge changes in chronic conditions throughout any given week.
Yeah. Whenever people, you know, talk about that, I literally kind of get like, you know, when you have like your thing that you're like, nah, I'm not going to let this slide. Older adults and technology. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm just like, when you're done talking, I got something to say. I'm like, please do not put it past older adults. Like, all the technology you have today was because of people in their generation invented that stuff. So let's not put it past them to be able to figure stuff out. By the way, the stuff that we're figuring out is getting better and getting more intuitive. So let's not discount older adults in terms of like, well, they're too old, they can't figure it out. That ain't happening here. In the future for practice, what do you think, Mark? Like, things that are coming downstream that you're seeing, like where this thing can go? What do you think?
I mean, I think the fact of it is, like, somebody's going to figure out this whole prevention space and upstream care space. And so it's really just a question of, like, are we willing to jump into that?
Yeah.
And it isn't a thing of, like, I don't know, at least my perspective, I don't know if I speak for everybody, but I feel like it's not about, like, everybody needs wearables and this is the solution to all our ails, but right. Like, it is a, like, it's an actionable solution now that's pretty darn cheap, like somewhere in the, like, less than a dollar a day range, to make some pretty significant health changes, or at least, like, don't mind my New York City street noise here.
Where are you in the city, by the way?
Pretty significant health changes, or, like, keep out of the red zone, as sure. like I said a couple times. So it's saying, like, is that a means of, like, health insurance? And, like, are we willing to get involved with something like that? Because whether or not, like, technology like this is ubiquitous now, like, it's going to be in the future. Like, it's moving to just such an ease of use that it will be ubiquitous. So the question is, like, are we comfortable in practicing in that manner in a preventative care type model? So, like, why not?
Yeah. All right. Well, with what you just said there is question from the audience right now on Facebook. Is this considered a form of telehealth? Like, now we're getting into, like, telehealth, and what is that? Monitoring. And I know that Mount Sinai Hospital, I got a friend over there, David Petrino, super smart guy, put together some resources showing exactly how to do it, what billing codes to use to monitor progress in terms of, like, telehealth. Sorry, as my phone rings while we're live on the air. Thanks, Mom. But is this telehealth? Because you're monitoring. This is what PTs do. We ask questions, we monitor data. Is this considered a form of telehealth?
I don't think so. I don't know about you, Sarah. I don't really see it that way, or at least, and it's like, it's one of those gray areas probably. And typically, like, the way we deal with it, just from a, like, you know, we're often dealing with these, like, is this care or not in terms of our, like, prevention practice. And it's that, like, weird, like, walk the line gray area. But I mean, officially, like, the FDA, I think, is it the FDA? Right. Doesn't consider wearables like medical information. I think it's not, like, it isn't at the threshold that, say, you need, like, HIPAA protection for it or things like that. So, I mean, that's, like, one side of it. But to me, like, could it transition to a telehealth consult?
Right.
Yeah, totally. But, like, I don't think it starts out with that, or at least most of your interactions, and I would say Sarah can probably speak to this, but the vast majority of the interactions that are kind of, like, advisors, as they call themselves, have had with study participants, like, probably don't cross that threshold. It's more on the, like, advising role, like, hey, here's what we're seeing. Like, maybe think about these things. And, like, you know, if you need more, like, then it could progress on.
Got it. What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. In fact, it's one of the things that we specifically train people on if they are onboarding with the PT Health Study, is that, you know, what we're doing is really just providing nudges and guidance that are sort of pre-scope of practice. And that's one of the things that makes it so accessible across state lines and even country lines. We have some folks across the Atlantic in our project already. So there are certainly things that you see in the data that may urge you to take someone up to another level, but I would call that sort of an escalation and putting them then into the still probably upstream, but less population-based care and more one-on-one. And that's when you start to get into, you know, is this kind of a health coaching or is this a telehealth type of situation?
Right. Mark Rubenstein from Jersey jumping in there saying, yeah, more remote monitoring than telehealth right now. PPS looking into codes for remote monitoring, which is interesting, agree, can be used with telehealth. And you know what? Some people are uncomfortable with gray areas, but as the future progresses, like, these gray areas are become more defined. And that's where the gray areas, where the magic happens, right? When people tell you you can't do something, you shouldn't do something, get curious as to why. Because no one's done it. Okay, tell me more. Why no one's done it? Why? Because you're not supposed to or can't. And that's where the magic happens. I just think there's so much leverage in this with having information and be able to start conversations. And Sarah, something you said, which is pre-scope of practice. I like that. That's like, it's not my scope of practice, but it's cloudy out and it's about to rain. So, like, when it rains, that is my scope of practice. So you're saying this is very, I love that. Very, I'm gonna write that down. Pre-scope practice, which is like, I'm seeing some stuff.
I'm not liable for any legal ramifications
of that. We have a disclaimer on this whole show. But I like that, which is like, hey, pre-scope of practice, which is like, hey, I'm just seeing something as an observer of this data that you voluntarily gave me. And, like, hey, if it progresses to this, this is in my skill set and this is in my scope. Please come see me as a provider. Mark, appreciate the question or the comment right there. This is exciting. I like this a lot. This is really, really cool. I like the fact that this is kind of the merging of technologies. What are some things that you guys have learned so far? You've been doing this since, what'd you say, April or something like that? Like that you've seen, did it go as planned when you guys like started doing this either personally or as a group? Did it go as planned or how did it progress?
I would say like for anybody who's joined on with the Mike Eisenhart project, you know, it's always lots of twists and turns. And, it's probably more than you bargained for.
Good.
In terms of how much you're investing in it. But we have a really cool group of people. So it's been, it's been really cool to see things kind of morph and develop from, I think, what I thought was just going to be like a, you know, like essentially like alarm bell, like you're at risk kind of thing, to really like a two-way system that is, you know, a lot more interactive, I think, than I initially thought it would be.
Yeah.
Or at least, and like, to me, that's a more applicable system for the future.
When I hear two-way system, I hear conversation, right? I have a degree in journalism and communications, right? And I hear two-way conversation, that's communication, right? So if you just got a notification on your phone, that's one way, that's good, right? But if it prompts a response, and if that message actually like, oh, this is important. Like, I mean, Sarah, like you couldn't have picked a better analogy or a situation, which is like, it's going to rain. It's kind of cloudy. Like, oh, that's important to me because I don't want to get wet. That's the magic happens, which is now still in the gray area as we're talking about, which is we don't know what we're going to do with it. But if it's important to me, because I'm the most important person in the world, in my world, because I'm egotistical, I'm a human. If you can get into that conversation, that's fantastic. That's the conversation that PTs like to say we're great in, because that's where our magic happens. Sarah, to you, same question. As it progresses, of course, you know it's going to be twisty and turny. But how have you seen it from progress as long as you've been involved with PT Health Study?
I think, you know, as Mark said, any Mike Eisenhart project is certainly sort of a whirlwinds kind of coming together into a final storm of progress. but it's been fascinating for me to just look at the data. You know, I am not an intuitive graphs individual. I'm an art major, so numbers aren't my forte. But I think that looking at what happens to people over time and sort of understanding the normal ups and downs and changes in stressors and physiology and seeing how people recover and how they respond when they, you know, exercise on a low recovery day and things like that has just totally changed my perspective. And one of the things that it's changed my perspective on is people's ability to recover, and that sometimes they do get wet and that's okay, because sure, we can also still hand them a towel, right? And say, it's cool, dry off, and this is how you're gonna do it.
Man, Sarah going in on that rain analogy is like, that's perfect. Which is like, just because you got wet doesn't mean, well, we're done. All right, right. You're wet. It's over. Have a nice day. I'm out of here. No, like, we'll hand you a towel. We can fix that. But it's that just in time, or if you've gotten wet, okay, let's figure out what this means and what we can do for you. That's fun.
Yeah.
You're all in the analogies. It works well. Mark, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, as a team, Proactivity, because we've been watching our own data and like digging into like the stuff in the background a little bit for, you know, a couple of years now. So it's maybe not like I've seen it, but it's cool to see every time when, you know, you see, say, somebody spike in terms of their stress levels. So measured by the heart rate variability scores. And then like just the amount of like how simple advice can change that direction so quickly. And I think, at least speaking for myself, oftentimes because we start in this system that is seeing everybody when they're like 2 miles down the river, like, you know, swimming for their life, like, and have had like 10 life rafts thrown to them, but they're all like fake life rafts or something.
Right.
So like we're in this position where it feels like you can't help them, or when you do need to help them, it's this gigantic undertaking. But like, if you, you know, find the person upstream and say, hey, just don't step in that river. It's going to be a bad idea.
Just
like, you know, it seems too easy.
You didn't get rained on. You fell in the stream. Like, like 100 towels isn't going to help now. And now, as a PT, when you're working with that patient, you feel for them because you're like, oh, if I just was able to talk to you 2 months ago, you wouldn't be wet. You wouldn't be soaking wet down that stream. And I think that's a perfect, you know, kind of analogy too, which is that stream, which is upstream. And we talk about upstream and downstream costs, right? And some people think that the cost thing is this dirty thing. We should only focus on people. And it's like, well, man, I like cornflakes and I like paying rent, but I also like helping people. And if I can actually help prevent them and the entire system from spending money, then don't we all win? And isn't that valuable? And if that's valuable, you can pay me. I don't want all of what we saved you, but I would like a little, like if you gave me a little bit, I will give you a lot. I will give you the whole damn stream. And that's, that's the thing that excites me about what you guys are doing, is because you're looking up and down that stream and you're saying, how can I save this person from angst and personal misery? And how do I, and then when you do that, when that person's not wet in the stream, the system's a little lighter. I can help someone. I can spend some time monitoring someone else. Like, this thing has, I mean, scalability. And, you know, that's a question I get a lot in my day job, is like, is it scalable? This is, right? I mean, you're monitoring remotely. This is you're meeting them where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, to me, for like thinking of like a private practice and like people who want to maintain connection to their communities, like, I don't know. It just feels like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Or like, it doesn't have to be this, but like, I think the fact of like, we need to find a way to better connect with our communities in a real way that starts to engage around the idea of health and not around the idea of I'm the injury guy.
Right. Fixing. I can fix you. It's like, man, but if you met me, because I know some stuff that would have prevented this.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. It doesn't mean, yeah, our healthcare system is really good at fixing, you know, really bad stuff. Or, you know, like when you have COVID, you want to be in the hospital. I mean, maybe you don't want to be in the hospital, but that's the place you're going to be, and they're the ones who know. But we're terrible at managing chronic disease, and we're terrible at, you know, nudging people along gently, you know, over a year's time. Because, I don't know, behavior change takes a long time. So,
right. But your behavior change is now a conversation, not an appointment, not a meeting. It's a conversation about the thing that you're wearing the whole time. And that's meaningful. If you can talk to me about something that's meaningful to me as a communications guy, I'm like, yeah, you have my attention. Now what you do with that attention, okay, hey, I'm seeing this, and here's why that's important. Here's why that might be important to you. If you continue down this path, you're not going to be able to run that 10K in 3 months because you're going to burn out. You're doing it. It's too much or whatever. Like, it, make sure you grab that umbrella, and you're the umbrella. That's the cool part, is we get to be the umbrella. We don't want to be the towel. There's the line, right? We don't want to be the towel. We want to be the damn umbrella.
I want to be the life raft.
Yeah, whatever. I'll take that. Good work on you guys and everybody. And how many people are involved? I don't want to make it seem like it's just you guys. And you guys have mentioned Mike, but I'm sure there's lots of people involved.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do we got now, Sarah?
I think we have, from the actual study team, I think right now we're still at like maybe 10 of the data investigators and then a bit of a marketing team, but it's starting to progress.
Yeah.
What do you need more of?
Just, I think, interested parties. When you learn the system and you join in, we need more participants. Absolutely.
Wearing things.
We want more participants. We want people to wear them. And then people who wear them and start to join in, if they're interested, we want them to reach out to us as well. Because we think, you know, I mean, when you talk about the nudges and the types of information that we're providing to sort of be the umbrella, you know, the thing about it is these are health behaviors that PTs know. Right. And they know how to do them, but when you're downstream, it gets lost in the effort. And so we want people who, you know, we need bodies wearing them for the data. And we also need, you know, want people who are interested in kind of learning it, progressing it, so we can see where this can take us.
Okay. PTHealthStudy.org. If someone's interested in enrolling individuals to wear things, I mean, I feel like PTs would be the best, you know, drum beater out there on the street saying, hey, if you're wearing this and you wanted to get some feedback. So that's the website you would want to push people to, is PTHealthStudy.org.
Yeah. So that's where anybody can enroll. And it doesn't have to be PTs, you know, like my family members are a part of it, you know, just from a peace of mind perspective and things like that. So you can enroll on the participant side, and that's really like first entry, step one. So now we're having people who have been in the study from the start as participants who are interested enough to say, hey, this is cool. Like, I want to know more about the other end, which is watching the data side. So folks who were like kind of in the study already have basically first access to that training. So that's training that's going through the APHPT. So they're essentially training these PTs on how to use this type of system. And really then that system is something you could integrate into your community. That's the like actual like data side of it was developed by Proactivity. So essentially that goes through them and you can, you know, basically take what we're trying to develop and like beta testing and put that same thing in action in your community is really the goal of like, all right, we want to train an army and like everybody go and like, you know, take it in your own direction. Because there's, you know, lots of ways that it can be customized and used in lots of different manners. So
I want to set a date. 6 months from now. I want to have you guys back on this show 6 months from now and be like, hey, we talked in July. And now we're talking in January. What happened from here now? Because I want to see. I want to track this, right? That's the whole. That's your whole thing. Let's track this. Let's study it. I'd be so eager and excited and curious to see where this thing's going to go. Because to me, it checks all the boxes.
And Jimmy, we can bring your data up on the screen and see, and we can track like over the last 6 months.
Yes. How fantastic is that? Because you just said, Jimmy, we'll bring your data up, right? And that just said, oh, we're going to talk about me, which is exactly why this is important. Because if you're going to talk about me, I am very much interested. But that's how everybody is thinking. Like, you're going to tell me how I can improve? Ooh, you have my attention. What are you going to do with that attention? And you guys are figuring both of those angles out. So let's talk in January, and let's 6 months from now, and say, hey, we talked back in July, and we said this. What did you learn since then? I want the audience to be along with us on this ride because I want them to be at pthealthstudy.org. I want them to be signing up and, you know, beating that drum out there. Well, if you're wearing a damn thing, why don't we do something with that data? And you guys are doing stuff with the data because you have the skill set to do things with that data. Are you guys ready for three questions?
Sure.
That's a yes answer. You have to just... All right, let's do three questions right now. Three questions brought to you by our friends at Aureus Medical Staffing, AUREUSmedical.com, leaders in hashtag travel physical therapy. Find them online there if you're looking to do the thing that you want to do, which is be a great therapist around the country. Positions in all 50 states, all settings, and Washington, D.C. I got called out, like all the states, but not the district. I'm like, yeah, I got it. Washington, D.C. as well. All right, first question. We'll go to Sarah first. First question is a where question. Where are you located right now?
I am in Columbus, Indiana.
All right. But if you can go anywhere you want in the world and do whatever it is that you do, where would you go? Or in the country, I should say. 50 U.S. states. Where would you want to go?
Orcas Island, Washington.
What's Orcas Island?
Sort of off the coast of Seattle. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been.
Wow. I think I might have a new vacation destination. Mark, definitely. You're in New York City. Where are we going? Anywhere in the 50 U.S. Where are you going?
I think Hawaii.
Yes.
It's got everything, right?
It's volcanoes,
rainforests. I think there's
ukuleles. It's got everything. Yeah. Bridget just got excited because I mentioned ukuleles. all right, that's question one. Question two is a what question? What's something you've read, watched, downloaded, like a movie, podcast, book, quote, poem, something that that the audience should go, hey, I would find value in that. Sarah, what do you think?
This is related to PT Health Study. I think I just finished How to Be an Anti-Racist by Kendi, recommended.
Like, how cool is it that like we're having a moment right now in the world and our reaction to it, or a lot of people's reaction to it, is reject and go, nope. And a lot of other people's reaction is, I'm going to buy the book and I'm going to learn something. So like the people who are like rejecting, they're super loud. All right. I can't convince you to not be louder. And the other people who are like, I'm going to learn something, they're doing the quiet thing. We're like, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to buy the book. But the cool part is we measure stuff, right? Data. And we go, it's a bestseller now. And now it's being sold. So, wow. Good on you for mentioning that one. Yeah. Mark, good luck following that one. something you've watched, read, downloaded, something that inspired you. This is how I beef up my Netflix queue or my reading list, anything.
Okay, one interesting new podcast, since this is a podcast as well.
Yeah.
It's called No Stupid Questions with now I'm forgetting the name. It's from the Freakonomics guy.
I know them.
Oh gosh.
There are No Stupid Questions.
It's called No Stupid Questions. And with a psychologist who did all the great books about vulnerability. You know her, guys. Come on.
Is it Brené Brown?
Literally grew. Yeah. Freakonomics. Oh, Grit. Angela Duckworth.
Yeah. It's Brené Brown and Stephen Dubner. Thank you.
There you go. There it is. All right.
Be prepared for these questions.
That's why I like live radio. I like it more.
Here's my plug. It's a conversation where they ask one question to each other and they both answer it. They're both kind of thoughtful people and it's a fun little thing.
So. I like it. All right, cool. That's the what question. And then we always like to begin and end with who and people. Who is someone the audience should know more about? And I ask that very open-endedly. I don't say like in therapy or it's just who's someone the audience should know more about? Who's someone who does good stuff or should have some, like, let's learn from people. Like, we start with a where. And then a what with a book, a thing. Now we're on people. Who should the audience know more about?
B.B. Miller. She's a modern dance choreographer. And she's done remarkable things for cultural studies and race awareness.
Dang, she's not going to help me get rhythm, though. Probably. No one is going to help me get rhythm, though.
But I don't know.
No. Chase, no one's helping me get rhythm. Trust me. Mark, same question. Who should the audience know more about?
I'll go with Brené Brown again, just because I'm on a Brené Brown kick. I think I'm late to the party, but I feel like the conversations around vulnerability and how we approach conversations like that are super relevant right now and is underlies a lot of, I think, the struggle that people have talking about things like race and violence and stuff like that.
I like how you say, I think I'm late to the party on anything, but here's the cool part. It's like it's never too late. Like, you might be late to the, you might have just missed something, but like, yeah, jump in. If you're like, hey man, I've never read a book on how to be an anti-racist. It's like, I never thought it was a problem. It's a problem. Read the book. Like, so it's never too late to read the book. Like, get the game. Like, I understand. Like, that's when you have to admit, hey, I didn't think it was a problem. I now think it's a problem. Let's read the book. Let's get better. That's three questions. AURAUSmedical.com. It's leaders in hashtag travel PT. Now it's time for your mic drop moment. We get the intense music. Let's do our parting shots. Press the button. Here we go. Parting shot brought to you by our friends from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. If you're thinking about leveling up your orthopedic physical therapy game, try it. Why not the Academy of Orthopedic PT? Orthopt.org. We've got some contests coming from them. If you want to get free access to some of their online courses, we gave away current concepts of orthopedic PT. They've got a lot more. Check them at orthopt.org. So parting shot for you guys. It's your chance for the mic drop moment, either anything, a sentiment. What do you want to leave with the audience? We'll go with Sarah first. Sarah, your parting shot.
The healthcare system as it is right now doesn't really work. And I think that this is an opportunity to drastically change the way we approach not only health and wellness, but care in general. It's just not working.
Yeah, this is the moment where we've got the accessibility. We've got the chance to communicate in two ways, not just one, two ways. That's our wheel. We like to say it's our wheelhouse as physical therapists. If that's our wheelhouse, grab it. Do not let this moment that Sarah just mentioned get past us. Mark, your parting shot. What do you got for us?
All right, so we're going to take this is a double shot now. So really, because it's building off of Sarah, to say that, I think we have the opportunity now, and we often talk about transforming society, and we often talk about how we want a little more piece of the pie. And so it's really a question of like, what are you doing to, you know, take a little bit more of that? Doesn't need to be this, but this is an option that's here. So if it sounds cool, jump on in.
I like how you asked that as a question, like, right? Like if you want the bigger piece of the pie, like, but what are you doing about it? Like, I want, that's an adolescent behavior. I want, but I'm not willing to do anything for it. But you're making it not an adolescent question, which is like, what am I willing to do for it? Do something. Kindly enough said this doesn't have to be it for you, but do something. What are you willing to do? What are you capable of doing? Do that, and then we will have that change that you are saying I want. Great. What are you willing to give to get that I want? Let's throw up that website one more time, pthealthstudy.org. Sarah, Mark, I appreciate you guys coming by and sharing what you guys are doing. I really, even more than that, is I appreciate the fact that you are doing it. I'll give you one more bell as we go on the way out. More sound effects. I want to set a date. I want January, 6 months from now. And it can be you guys plus bring whoever you want. Bring the house party. We'll have a whole thing. And I want to see where we've gone in just 6 months, because things used to take years to progress. And now we know the rate of acceleration, which is crazy. Blowing my mind. But I want to set a date, because now we can hold each other accountable and say, all right, 6 months from now, we're going to talk again. So thanks so much for doing what you're doing. And I appreciate it. Thanks for doing it for the population and making our profession look good.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right. Show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
ptpintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It's poured fresh by me,
physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
Ingredients are sourced by our chief connections officer,
Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
And it's brewed fresh by producer and physical therapist
Juliet Dassinger.
And by producer and creator, second-year PT student
Bridget Nolan from Sacred Heart University.
PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
it. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you found value in the show, all we ask
is that you tell a friend.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.